quality first, music always. Vectis Radio DAB brightens your days.
There's lots to talk about, Lisa Beeny.
There certainly is.
So where do we start? I mean, obviously it was in the news last week, £7,500 grants.
Yeah, now these grants, this is the boiler upgrade scheme. So this is for people that have gas boilers and want to change them to heat pumps. It's not just gas, it's pretty much any boiler you've got, you can get this grant to upgrade to a heat pump. And the government is talking about expanding that, and if you have an oil boiler, increasing that to £9,000 to help people who've got oil boilers make that change. But if you're on a low income, so anything under £36,000, and your home has a low energy efficiency rating, so D or lower, then there are government grants that would pay for the whole thing for you. So there is help available. With the grants, the one that will pay for everything, there is a fixed amount of money in that pot. So when it's gone, it's gone. So get your application in quick and we can help you with that. If you're not sure what the energy rating of your home is, we can check it for you. And if you don't currently have one, don't worry. We can have a look and see what your home would most probably be. And as part of the application process, they will produce that energy rating for you. It's not something you have to pay to have done beforehand.
Okay, so when you say, is it gas, you say?
Yeah.
So that could be most houses that gas. It's not the what I just got in my head. It was the oil thing. So people living in the country, they would have these tanks that they would.
Yeah, it's people who are on mains gas, people who have like the gas tanks in the garden, people who have oil, or if you have the old fashioned night storage heaters. So it's aimed at gas, but it's not just gas, because a heat pump uses a fraction of the amount of energy of any other heating source.
Is it a first come first served? Probably not enough for everybody, so people ought to act fast?
The grant that pays for everything is on a first come first served, so you do need to get your application in quick. And there is quite a backlog that they're working through, because they've only just reopened applications. But if the government is to be believed, they're putting more money into that scheme from their Warm Homes plan. That's the only method they've got of distributing all the money they've said that they're going to, is through this Warm Homes local grant. For the boiler upgrade scheme, which is the £7,500 or £9,000 for everyone, that doesn't matter what your energy rating is. It doesn't matter what your income is. And at the moment, there is plenty of money in that scheme. But the reason I'd say to people do it now is it's not a quick process. So you're looking at maybe a 4 to 8 month process from when you make your first inquiry to when you have your heating installed and up and running.
Right.
Because each step can take a couple of weeks. So if you're applying for a grant, you put the application in, you'll then have them come back and want to see evidence of income and things. So if you allow 2 weeks for each of those stages, it very quickly becomes months rather than weeks.
How do we go through the process? What have we got to do?
Well, you can give us a call on 01983 668 900 or email us at info@greeniow.org.uk, and we can look at your own personal circumstances and then advise you on which is the best route for you to go down.
Now, I would class myself as the ordinary average day guy.
Yep.
And I'm sat here thinking, I don't even have a clue whether I would qualify or not. Is that how most people would think?
Yeah, that's quite normal.
So it's a case of you might not think you're capable of. You can make the claim.
Yeah.
But you could possibly. So don't rule it out. Don't ignore it.
Yeah. I mean, we meet a lot of people that might work part-time or are just on a low income that aren't claiming any sort of benefit from the government and don't realise that they are eligible for these fully funded grants. So it could be people who are just on a state pension, as I say, people who are working and on a low income, who just think it doesn't apply to them, but it could. And with the grants, it's not just heat pumps. The fully funded ones can pay for solar panels and batteries and insulation top-ups as well.
Okay, just I'm going to change tack now because, you know, I think that the grants thing, got to get in touch. Don't assume that you can't qualify. Make a phone call, make contact, and then people will tell you. If you're not the expert, and I'm certainly not the expert, and I would imagine there's lots of other people out there that are thinking, well, I don't even know whether I'd be, you know, whether I'd be able to get it or not. So make contact. That's the one thing we've got to stress here. My wife said to me the other day, she was reading something that was sent through to her, and it was all to do with plug-in solar panels.
Yes.
And I did read somewhere myself that they someone said, oh, you seem to be able to get them from Lidl. You just be able to buy them, plug them in and do. This sounds like a good thing. I'm guessing it is, but is you know, the regulations, what does you know, can you just buy one, plug it in? Is that how it works?
On the face of it, yes. And there's a few things that you have to take into consideration. And yes, it would be brilliant if you see them in the middle aisle of Lidl. They will be limited to 800 watts. So that is less than one unit of energy per hour they will be producing. And that's if they're sited in an ideal position getting full sun. But what that does mean is that for a lot of the time, it should produce enough energy to cover the background use at home. So things like your fridge, freezer running and a couple of lights, but it certainly wouldn't boil a kettle for you. You'll be able to bring it home, plug it in. But the plugging it in bit is the first issue, because you need a plug socket located ideally outside. So you'd need a waterproof socket to plug it into. Or you need to be able to get that cable into your home to plug it in.
So is it a case of you have to plug it in, or do you wire it into somewhere?
No, they will be plugged in. A lot of the delays in getting these available in the UK, because they've been available in Europe for many years, is normally when you have a plug in your hand that you're about to plug into a socket, what's at the other end of that, whether it's a light, a computer, a heater, it's not generating electricity. So those pins aren't live.
Yeah.
And it's only when you plug it in does that electricity flow. But with a solar panel, that solar panel is generating that electricity. So there has to be enough technical gubbins within that plug to mean that you can't touch those two pins accidentally and electrocute yourself.
Right.
Because all the time that solar panel is in daylight, it will be producing electricity. So it's slightly more complicated than it first seems, but all of that technology is going to be incorporated into the solar panel on the plug.
Okay. Makes sense. Because otherwise, picture the scene, you've got it on the roof, creating electric, you've just pulled out the plug and you've touched the pins, and while that's creating electric, you're electrocuted.
Yeah.
Simple.
And the other thing is that solar panels produce something called DC, so that's direct current. Our electricity in our house is AC, which is alternating current. DC is a bit more dangerous than AC, so the solar panel that you buy will also need a little inverter in it, which is the thing that converts it from the sort of electricity a solar panel produces to the sort of electricity that can just be connected up to your house.
Right, you got all technical there with your DC and all this stuff. So look, I've got a couple more questions off the back of that, and that was when you got your plug-ins and so on. If you've got solar panels, you can't actually, if there's a power cut, if you may have full batteries, but you can't use the power, but there is one way of doing it.
Yes, that is dependent on your individual setup, because the reason that is the energy companies don't want the electricity flowing from your solar panels back out onto the national grid. Because if there's an engineer working outside trying to fix the cables, you can electrocute them, and that's never a good move.
No.
So you can get some inverters that, when your house sees the grid goes down for a power cut, it isolates your house and makes it effectively, it draws up the drawbridge. So if you think of your house like a castle with a moat round it,
yeah,
it draws up a drawbridge, and then you can carry on using the battery to power your house. And then when it sees the grid reappear, it lowers that drawbridge and lets the electricity flow again. Or some inverters have the ability to have one plug socket that even if the grid goes down, that plug socket you can then plug into. But it's very much dependent on the kit that you've got in your home.
Yeah, I think we've got one of the ones where you've got something where you can plug it, an extension lead, run that into the house, and you've got at least essentials if you need them.
Yeah, so you could plug your fridge freezer into it and you wouldn't lose the contents of your freezer if you've got a power cut for any length of time.
I'd probably send the wife out into the garage with the little cooker, the little air fryer. So look, rather than run a cable round, you cook in the garage.
She might send you out there to do the same.
She might do. Something else, it's just cropped up in the last week or so, and this is a curveball for you. I'd like to put you on the spot now and again. Insurances for solar panels. It's just, we've just received something to say, oh, your insurance is just about to run out. Do you want to renew?
Yeah.
How important is it to keep your insurances up together? How long do they normally last?
Are you talking about the warranty on the solar panels?
Yeah, warranty and of course, I mean...
Or house insurance. Not two different things.
The insurances for the actual solar panels itself. So that's what's in being insured. I mean, they've obviously got to work correctly. And if they don't work correctly, then obviously you need to replace them or whatever. I'm guessing that's what the insurance is for. How long do those panels normally last for, though?
Solar panels normally have a lifespan of 15 to 20 years. The inverters, typically between 5 and 10 years. Batteries is very much dependent on how you use them, but you'd be looking at a minimum of a 10-year warranty for those. And with our battery project that we're doing, we are making sure that any battery we use has a warranty of at least 10 years. So if a battery fails within that time, it's down to the manufacturer to replace it.
Okay.
So it's not a separate insurance for it.
No.
But it's making sure the warranty covers it.
Okay, so we should check our warranties.
Yes.
For batteries and the actual panels themselves.
And the inverter.
Yeah.
And when it's installed, you should be given a handover pack. And within there will be the details of... There should be, ideally, a wiring diagram showing how it's all connected together. Details showing the make... a model of the inverter, the batteries and the panels, and also details of the warranty, as well as all of the operating instructions and your NCS certificate.
That's good. Let's put my mind at rest, because I don't really get involved. My wife takes care of all of that, and when she came to me about the insurance thing, I was looking at these panels and thinking, how long should they last up there? Because if they last for about 3 years and you've got them, got to renew them and purchase some new ones. But you put my mind at rest, because they should all have some kind of warranty for at least 10 years.
They will all have a warranty. Even when they're out of warranty, they will still carry on working.
Yeah.
When you look around on the island, there are some really, really old solar panels over here that we go and see that are still generating plenty of electricity for people. It's like car batteries. I mean, people initially, when electric cars came out, said after 2 or 3 years, you'll need to change your battery. It'll cost a fortune. I drive an electric car that's now 8 years old, and it's still showing 100% battery capacity.
Oh, wow.
So I think that's partly because I've driven it primarily on the island. I don't ever use a fast charger with it, so it's been looked after. But the batteries are now lasting far longer than anyone ever expected, and certainly far longer than the doom mongers.
That's good to know, because sometimes those doom mongers, they shout loudly, and you know, I'm looking at my phone now and thinking, I bought this phone last year, and I checked the battery, and it's still at 100%. I had one for about 3-4 years, and it was down to about 85%.
Yeah.
So you know, they do drop. Unfortunately,
they
that's
do.
The nature.
Yeah, but phone batteries and car batteries and house batteries, they're all different technologies. They may all contain lithium, but they are manufactured in a different way and work in a different way. And even when your phone battery gets down to 85%, you don't put the phone in the bin, do you?
No, crikey,
no. You just think, oh, I'll need to charge it slightly more frequently. So it's the same with any sort of battery. And we're now seeing, especially car batteries, outlasting the rest of the car.
Yeah. Going back to your phone, I mean, I personally would look at it in a different way. I talk to people less rather than charge it more. That would be my mentality. But so, I mean, your car, 8 years old, still got 100% battery.
Yeah.
So that's really, really good, isn't it? Are they expensive to renew? I'm guessing if you work it out, if you've got a car and you've had it for 8 years and the battery's still fine, yes, there'll be maintenance, wear and tear, tyres, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But you haven't got to go and have your engine redone because...
No, you've got no gearbox. There is just so little that needs servicing on an electric car. And because when you slow down, it works like a dynamo and puts the charge back in the battery, you have less wear and tear on your brakes as well. So there's a whole load of things that an electric car just doesn't need changing. You've got no oil filters, you've got no fuel filters. There's just...
So the maintenance money, the money you're going to spend on maintenance is going to be minimal.
Oh, it's a fraction.
So, you know, if you've got to buy a battery every 10 years, it's not going to be quite so bad, is it?
The chances are you won't, though, because the batteries, as I say, are now outlasting the cars. So when you come to upgrade your car and trade it in, you'll just do as you've always done with a car with an old-fashioned engine.
Makes sense.
And you don't think, oh, yes, this engine's getting a bit old, I'll pop a new engine in. We just don't do that. And it's just thinking about it differently.
So you drive an automatic car then?
Yeah.
And, old-fashioned driver myself. I know I drive a semi-automatic now, but one of the things that you were always taught to do, if you're going down a hill, you can use your gears to slow down and stuff like that.
Yeah.
How do you do that in an electric car?
It uses the motor to slow down.
Right, okay.
So it effectively, again, puts the motor into reverse, so as you're slowing down, it's recharging your battery.
Brilliant.
That's one thing you don't get in a petrol car, isn't it? When you're going downhill, you're using your gears to slow down.
Yeah.
It's not putting more petrol back in the tank.
No, it's not. Definitely. No. So, I mean, as you've had your electric car for 8 years. Has there ever been a time when you think, I really miss filling up the car with petrol?
No, especially at these prices.
No, as soon as that question left my lips, I thought, I know what the answer is. But is there any negativity about having an electric car?
I went to Bristol yesterday, so took the electric car, drove down Monday night. I had to stop for 10 minutes to charge it when I got there, just to top it up a bit so I had enough to come back. That's
10 minutes, is that all?
That's all.
Crikey.
We've got really fast chargers now all around the country.
See, the doom peeps, they do say, oh, you've got to park your car for about an hour and charge it all up.
No. To be fair, when I looked at the charger and saw how long it was going to take, I thought, no, I don't quite have enough time to pop in and grab a cup of coffee. I'll just wait with the car.
Yeah. Wow. So
but no.
No regrets?
Oh, absolutely none.
And you're the person to ask because you've had one for 8 years.
I wouldn't go back. I mean, why?
Yeah.
When I get home, I can plug it in. If you can't charge it at home, that's different.
Yeah.
Because you can't benefit from a lot of the energy cost savings. But if you do have a driveway, most of the time I plug mine in to an external 3-pin socket run from the shed. So no special charger. It's just a normal 3-pin socket. And when I get home at night, as I say, I plug it in and I know that by the time I get up the next morning, it will be charged. It doesn't matter how slow that section is.
No.
Because I'm going to be asleep.
Is it like leaving your phone on charge overnight? Should you do that? Or is there a thing where you can say, right, I'll set it to this. When it's full, it switches off.
Oh, when it's full, it switches off. Right. Yeah. It doesn't just leave it charging.
Have you ever, I know we're concentrating on your car now, but I'm just intrigued by it. Have you ever driven off with it still plugged in?
It won't let you.
It won't. How will it not? You turn the key and it will say you can't do
this. Yeah, it will say your car is still plugged in. Please unplug it.
That's good. Because let's be honest, we've probably all done that.
Yes.
Or tried to.
I mean, electric cars are incredibly quiet, so you don't have all of that background noise inside the car. I find it a lot more comfortable to drive.
Yeah.
It's quite really, really smooth. There's no clunky gear changes or anything. The braking is incredibly good. As I say, I drove down to Bristol and back. You don't feel tired at the end of a long drive. Easy.
Oh, wow. Well, do you know what? You're selling it to me. And there's more and more electric cars out there because, I know this is going to sound really silly. You can hear them because they're quiet.
Yeah, like the electric buses.
Yeah.
And it's lovely when now, especially cycling, if you end up behind an electric bus, you're not breathing in all those diesel fumes.
Yeah. No, it's a no-brainer, isn't it? It really is. Hey, look, thank you for that, and thank you for coming in. And just remind us again, if we wanted to know more about all of the things that we've discussed, especially the grants as well, and I can't stress enough, don't think that, we won't be entitled to that. You don't know until somebody's told you. So how do we get hold of you?
Well, you can give us a call on 01983 668 900, or email us at info@greeniow.org.uk.
Brilliant. Thanks, Lisa. I'll see you in a month.
Yep.
3rd of June.
Yes.
Good grief.
June, halfway through the year.
I know. See, now you're all depressed.
I'm not depressed. I just can't believe how quickly this year's going.
It's going too fast.
Yeah.
Anyway, have a good month.
Thank you.
It's 12 minutes to 1.